Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are, or you wouldn't be here. So let's get on with the show. Here's Brad.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. It's been a week from hell, Body. We've had everything going on. We've had brawls. We've had communications. We've had meetings. We've had absolutely, well, maybe not, but we've had absolutely.
Did we have a meeting? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows? It's been brilliant. Let's talk about it all. WNBL round 16 is done. One more round left for the WNBL of the season. Round 19 for the NBL. They've got a few left. Oh, hello, mate. I'm exhausted after this week.
I'm feeling very sad for Geelong and Geelong fans because they're showing now with their closer to their full team, even though they beat Bendigo this week without Alex Sharp playing and, of course, without Gemma Potter, who's got a season-ending ACL. You know, if they'd had that team together all season, they would be in the finals.
Yeah, no, you're right. They got a double win. Let's go through the wins quickly. As you said, and as I said, round 16, but Geelong beat Bendigo, which, I mean, we didn't pick, but that was a big loss for Bendigo, and we'll explain why. Southside beating Adelaide, I think we had agreed with that. Townsville beating the Caps, fine. Geelong beating Sydney, no worries. Bendigo and the Lynx, well, that wasn't a contest. Perth just came out and went bang.
Hang on. It was till half time. And then, you know what we've been saying? We've been waiting for the bottom to fall out of Bendigo.
It happened.
Right? We've been waiting for Casey Samuels and the absence of her and obviously Mariana Tolo to impact. I think this is where we saw it because they had a very competitive first half. Yep. And then the third quarter, Perth has gone 28-10. And the last quarter, Bendigo's had 6 points. That's a 16-point second half. That isn't going to beat Sydney, let alone Perth.
It's a lot, isn't it?
So I think we might have just seen the moment.
Don't disagree, my man. Don't disagree at all. And then, obviously, as we're recording this, it will be Caps playing the Flyers. I'm expecting the Flyers to get that win with what's happening with the Caps, and I know you would as well. Yep. Look, some interesting games. Like you said, let's talk about Geelong. I mean, they've come back and gone bang to Bendigo, and what was, I think, more impressive is just how they kept Bendigo in that second and third quarter, fourth as well, to 19-12 and 19. They did really well on both ends, didn't they? And shot the ball really well.
I think they were extremely good. I was very impressed with Jazz Shelley.
Yeah.
She had a Damian Martin game, Brad.
Yeah.
Where you don't score, but you influence the game because she played such great defense on Izzy Borlase, kept her to 11 points. Although she still had 9 rebounds and 5 assists, but she also had 5 turnovers, Izzy, which is
unusual. I don't know. I was going to say to you, can you get a triple-double by 9 rebounds, 7 assists and 5 steals? She could have got a triple-double the way she was heading.
Yeah, she was excellent. But, the thing with Izzy was, I think, of that 11 points she scored, she got a couple early on Lily Returno. That's how they started. They tried Lily on her. And then when they moved Jazz, then Izzy's impact was very much nullified. So that was impressive. Southside beating Adelaide. Adelaide kind of had control of that game for a while and then blew it with all the major names for Southside. Kayla George, Maddie Rochie, Hayley Peters, Isabel Bourne. They were the ones that basically got that done. Dallas Lockridge still having one of the great seasons, 20 points, 8 assists. Her move to Adelaide has really paid off for her personally.
Yeah, do you know she's back next year? I couldn't find that out. I was looking at that thinking that's someone you want to keep.
I think they would be trying to lock her up in the longer term.
But so you don't think she is signed yet? Because today came out, just while we're talking about this, that the coach of the Flames, Renee Garlop, has just signed a 2-year deal.
Yeah, which is very good. Although,
so it should be. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still kind of dubious, though, not about Renee, but about the circumstances that cost Guy Malloy his job.
Yeah.
Because this Guy Malloy is one of the best credentialed coaches in the country.
Yeah, it's an interesting one,
isn't it? He's coached NBL. He's coached the WNBL Championship.
I haven't seen him there.
Didn't they say he was going to be retained in some capacity at the club?
So, I'm not at every Flames game, to be fair, but he's, certainly I haven't seen him at the ones that are at Kudos where I'm commentating straight after it. So,
It's interesting as to what went down there, but that's no reflection on Renee. That's got nothing to do with it.
No, of course not.
Fantastic.
Geelong too strong. We just keep going through this. Geelong too strong for the Flames, like you said. You know, unique Thompson did what they could to keep him in, but again, Jazz Shelley, Mackenzie Holmes was great.
I tell you, it was great for Sydney. Agnes Emanopou.
She had 19 and 8 or something, I think.
I think a career best. And she basically sort of put her hand up like, I think I might have arrived. So hope she can maintain that last game or two.
Yeah. And then, of course, we go to that Perth-Bendigo game. And like you said, it was only three points in it, but then a 28-10, 15-6 second half. Like, that is just 16 points in the second half for Bendigo.
Like I said, that doesn't beat Sydney.
Just to let people know, and it's starting to take shape, Townsville are 1, Lynx are 2, Spirit are 3, meaning 4 losses, 5 losses and 6 losses in that way. Yeah, and then obviously Southside, look, it'll be interesting. Caps can theoretically still make it, but no, you think Southside.
They won't. Doesn't matter. Yeah, even if they win, they're not.
They'd have to win by too much.
So we've basically got the 4, as we've said. We said this weeks ago, though, Brad, that we had the 4, and it was only going to be the order of the top 3. And we were waiting for the bottom to fall out of Bendigo. It hasn't really, but they did get shown up badly by both Geelong and Perth.
Mm.
So they've got to regroup. They end the season in Townsville. Mm. So, you know, they're 16 and 6, Townsville are 18 and 4.
You don't want that, man.
If they could get the upset, and work Perth to beat Sydney, as you'd expect, then Perth will go to 18 and 5, and Townsville theoretically would be 18 and 5. Then it's a percentage question. But I don't think the order is going to change. It's going to be Townsville finish first, and we'll be playing Southside in the semis.
Yep.
Perth will finish second. We'll have home court advantage over Bendigo in the semis. And then see what happens from there. I think we end up with a Perth-Townsville final.
Which we've pretty much been saying from day one. Last round, but just before we do that, can you give me your player of give me your best moment first, please?
Well, my best moment was late in the game between Bendigo and Geelong when it was still there to be won, and then Alyssa Pilley, who's missed so much of the season for the Venom, hits a big 3. It was a backbreaker. It made it 76-69, basically sealed the game. And, you know, when you see that shot, you know, well, that's it. It's done. And it was. So that was my moment. What about yours?
Thanks very much. Yeah, thanks very much. That's exactly what I had. That was my moment as well. So anyway, moving on, player of the round. Well, I'm going to go first. I've got Mackenzie Holmes. I thought 28-8 be Bendigo, 21-11 versus the Flames. She was just too solid for me. I really enjoyed watching her play.
Do you think if Geelong was to finish 5th, so just miss out on the final despite the year they've had, do you think that raises Mackenzie Holmes' chances of being the MVP?
No.
Because she's had a great season.
She's had a ripper of a year. No, I'm not suggesting
that. No one's going
to
catch Izzy Bulldogs.
To me, it's Izzy and Daylight. Izzy and Daylight, but great year for Mackenzie. I don't know if you could say most improved. It's a tough one, you know, like because she's so good anyway. But I thought she's had a wow of a year. A little bit like the Sobey from the men. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you're a good player anyway, but geez, you just went to another level as well. Yeah. But no, Izzy's the MVP for me.
Yeah. So we've got Canberra, Geelong, and then we've got Perth. We're just looking at this week's round. Perth, yeah. Sydney, Perth, which you'd expect.
Well, hang on, you didn't give me your play of the round. Who's your player of the round?
Well, same team. I think it sounds like we're doing a Geelong benefit here. But I like Jazz Shelley. I think if you can influence a game scoring by playing great defense and running up some terrific stats, 5 steals, fantastic effort. And then to back that up with a 20 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, in the win over Sydney, I thought she showed there are different ways to contribute. It doesn't just have to be scoring, but she can do that as well.
Nice. The Damian Martin thing, I like that analogy. Right, give me your tips. Caps at home versus Geelong. You've already said Southside beating the Caps earlier, but that's the end of last round.
Well, I think it's being Canberra's last game. I think they're a chance to win that, but I'm going to favour Geelong, but I wouldn't be shocked.
Too many injuries. No, I've got to go for Geelong. Perth to beat the Flames in Perth. That's a tough road trip for the Flames, last one. Yep. Adelaide versus Southside. I don't know. You just never know. I feel Southside may, you know, struggle in that one a little bit. You're in, you're fine. I think Adelaide are a chance for that one.
Yeah, I'm still going to go Southside, but I agree. And they'll be introducing the South Australian under 20 girls team, which won the national championship last week in Ballarat. Right.
Yeah. And hang on, before
the first
I get
time
before
won in 16 years.
Yes, I heard that. So but before I ask you the next one, you're the coach of Bendigo. You're in third spot. You're probably not going to get second. Do you play everyone in Townsville? Because that's the last game of the season.
Well, why wouldn't you, though? Why wouldn't you play?
I agree. I hate this sitting out, you know, yeah, minute. And I agree. But there is talk that some people can do this. Not talk that this coach is going to do it. I'm just saying, anyone got a niggling injury? Do you sit them?
Yeah, but if Kennedy Kiriama could get a win in Townsville in the last game of the season, how much would that lift them?
That's
for the semifinals?
I agree with you. You don't want to lose by 30 and 40 and get that. But the other end, you don't want to lose by 30 and 40 when you are ready, coming off 20 against Perth.
Yes, yes. So that's a retribution game for them. So even though I expect Townsville to win, I don't think Bendigo is just going to go up there and go through the motions at all.
All right. Well, thank you, Bertrand. That is the WNBL. Let's move to the NBL. We started with round 19 in Wednesday night when the Adelaide 36ers took on the NBL One team, the Brisbane Bullets, and they got thumped again. It's not the NBL One team. I'm just joking for our listeners. Sorry. Perth beating Southside. Big win.
It's a bit harsh. In these days of mental health, you've really damaged that whole program with that remark.
Yeah, I've damaged them. Yeah, righto. Perth beating Southside. The King smacking Illawarra, New Zealand beating Melbourne. Amazing.
Huge game.
Cairns beating Tassie. Jack McVeigh, my goodness. Southside going whack in the Doomsday double, by the way, but there was a Dave's break when they took on Adelaide in Adelaide. Illawarra, I was at that game. Christian Doolittle, way too good for Illawarra, where Perth beat them. That Tassie-New Zealand game, amazing. And Cairns, my God, came out and went wallop against the Sydney Kings, but Kendrick Davis and the team just clawed their way back and got a win. What did you see, my man?
Well, that to lead by 24 and lose by 14, a 38-point turnaround, when someone like Lockie Barker's having a career high, and, you know, you've got guys that are playing well, that was an extraordinary win by Sydney, and they were carried largely by Kendrick Davis, who I think is a far more mature and greater contributor to this Kings program than he ever was for Adelaide. I think playing for Bryan and playing alongside Dilley and with Bogut in his year, I think he's becoming the player he wanted to be. And I very much rate Sydney now with Torrey Craig, because even though I know he picked up a couple of quick fouls and he wasn't as big a factor as he can be, his ability to guard 1 through 4 makes him just, you know, a real major asset. So I like what I saw with Sydney. I was disappointed with the way Adelaide capitulated. But then if you factor in the fact that Isaac Humphries got hurt early and then they were down Rakosovic after he got his one-game suspension activated from his previous charge for his involvement in the incident against Brisbane. So I wouldn't take too much into that if I was Adelaide. That said, you know, the rumours have been rife in the last couple of days about team meetings or player meetings or leadership meetings or whatever, which has sort of sparked a club response that was pretty interesting.
What are your thoughts? I'm laughing because, like, I mean, I have no idea what Bogle will say, but I'm sure he's like washing that out. But it's just interesting that there's people say, you know, when you hear the you've got the full support of the board and you've got, you know, media people in Adelaide saying it's wrong and everything, a bit of me's like, you just don't need this at this time of the year.
Hell no.
Like, this is just awful. But every game that Adelaide lost this year, and it's been minimal, it's always been, we don't want Wells. We don't. I'm saying in the media, not media people. I'm saying socials and everything. It's always just as much. Here's where my thought is, honestly. I have no idea what's going on behind closed doors, and I don't give a shit, excuse my language, right? For me, I'm like, this team is in first spot. You're a month out from playoffs.
Haven't been there for a long time.
And been there all season. What have they lost? 5, 6, 7, 8 games, whatever it is. There is no way you are sacking the coach right now. There is no physical way that happens. I don't understand what's going on. All I can say is this, in my belief, I think this could cost them the championship. You don't like, I think it's going to cause mayhem in the system, in the club, and you just don't want that at this time of the year. Southeast Melbourne and the Kings are rolling, Perth are coming, and you just don't need that crap. Over to you.
I could say this. What if it does the opposite? They've just lost a bunch of games. What if that unifies them and says, okay, let's go forward. Let's show the world, instead of being five separate entities, let's close our fingers and be a fist. And
don't disagree with you. I'm just saying I don't think it will.
No, but here's the thing. This game on Saturday against Melbourne, who are on the, you know, they're on their backsides right now, Melbourne. Yeah. If Melbourne was to beat Adelaide, if there was stress from the 20-point loss to Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, imagine what it will be if they lose to Melbourne. I just think this team is in the best shape as far as the premiership table, championship table goes, in about 20 years, or since Joey Wright took them to grand finals against United and also against Perth. This is the best they've been since then. So
there's no question.
This is not good timing.
Yeah, just this, you know, like, you know, are we going to, you know, is something going to happen? I don't know. Whether there was a meeting, whether there was not a meeting, I know owners has come out and, you know, media has come out. The first thing I thought is, no way. No way. Like, you know, I actually.
It is Adelaide, though. You know, they do.
I know, but I'm actually, and I don't know the Adelaide system well. What I do know is Matt Weston is a very good friend of mine because we grew up playing against each other, right? And I just don't think he would work that way. That's my opinion. Now, I'm not sure if it's his decision solely. I don't think you do that with 3 weeks to go in a season. Sorry.
Just a quick one. Do you want to call Scott Ninnis and get his opinion?
Yeah, that
on
was
the
at the beginning. And right or wrong, that was at the beginning of the season, right? That's
beginning
different.
Of last season.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. I mean, like, it was a beginning of a season, right? Very different to when you're sitting in the top of the ladder at the front, right? And you've lost a handful of games and you've got Bryce Cotton, who is the best player in the league. And I still think he'll get MVP over Kendrick, and Kendrick's had a great year. I'd like to see him just come out and hit 40 this weekend just to shut everyone up too, by the way, but that would be nice.
Bryce gets you to a semi. If you've got a reasonable team around him, which Perth didn't always have, he gets you to the semi-final. He gets you to the semi-final, Brad.
Yeah,
he gets you there. Then as to what else can happen, well, that's contingent on the coaching and the rest of the cast.
All right, well, let's move on. I will say prior to that is I thought Rakosevic was lucky to only get one game. I have to be honest. I thought that was light. I thought the fact that he already had been suspended for a game this year, I thought may carry weight.
That was the game he got. He didn't get. He did not get anything except a fine for that incident in Brisbane. But because he'd been reported again that when he hit Finn Delaney a couple of weeks ago and he got a two-match suspension, it was one match with one in abeyance if he got in trouble again. So that's the actual game that he didn't actually get a game for this. He basically got a fine.
I think the way he fell on, he put a bit more mayo onto it. But the Terry Taylor thing, I mean, that was like he had him in control. That was like nearly a tap out. You know what I mean? Like that was, anyway.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as what it looked. You know, people get excited in the
commentary.
I agree. And then when the dust settles and you look at it again, you go, you know, it's just guys rushing in, falling over, stumbling into each other, and the chaotic nature of the beast. But when you sort of go, what was it? Okay, Santi Maldonado goes down. Nick Rakosevic lands on him a bit heavily than he should.
Yeah.
In comes Terry Taylor, overreacts, and that's what sets it off.
Yep,
and then in comes
agree.
Zillin Cheatham, who's probably had avoided any kind of suspension because of the fact that Jacob Holt, a rookie, came in and put him in a
very good. Look, you know, I can see him out. If I'm in that position and I can see Xylem, like, you know, seeing his teammate in a headlock like that, I can understand where that's going. But, you know, I was listening to Copes on the commentary and there was one thing I love what he said, you know, because you're not allowed to clear the benches, right?
And who doesn't know that? What's the matter with those Brisbane
Which was
kids?
Just. You know, that was just crazy, and you saw Bandy get in there and get the hell out to their players. But I just thought Copes was funny. He's like, man, when we were playing, you weren't allowed to come off the bench, but Charles Barkley said that if you guys don't come off the bench and you don't back me, everyone's in trouble. I'll pay your damn fine. And I just thought that was brilliant the way he said that, because how can you, like, Look, I don't remember being in a situation when I was on a bench where there was an all-in where we ran in. I don't remember it, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, putting myself in that position, I would run in instinctively. Now, I'm not going to do anything, mate. I'm 4 foot one and not going to be able to do anything, right? But what I'm saying is you would run in and try and, you know, pull people out and, hey, get your players out and everything. But that's clearing the benches. I don't know if I couldn't not do it.
Oh, really? Now, remember the incident going back in your career where you got knocked out? Now, what happened around that? I mean, you probably don't know because you were knocked out, but...
Mate, they all sat there and laughed at me, mate.
Yeah, they giggled. There was a few people came down off the court and sat down on the bench.
I wish I could tell you. I don't remember. They cleared
the benches. But no, seriously, can you remember that?
No.
Whether there was any... I know you were knocked out, but you would have seen the footage of it afterwards.
All I remember... is that Wayne Larkins hit me in the back of the head, and I don't remember the play before that, actually, and obviously it's not on video because they don't have it like that, now where there's 1,000 cameras. But the play before that, I actually went to cut and he gave me a hit with his into my jaw, and I remember just looking at him like, what the hell? So he obviously had something in for me. So then when I got hit the next play and he hit me from behind in the head and I fell, all I remember is I eventually came to, don't know how long I was knocked out for, and Alan Black, my coach, was standing over me talking to the ref. And I remember just grabbing Blackie's ankle because it was right there going, mate, he's just knocked me that out, right? Yeah. And then Blackie went off to the coach, like ref, like, what the hell? You know, and he just went nuts that way.
Yeah.
That's all I remember. I don't remember anything else. Then obviously I room with Bruce Bolden and he saw a replay of it and he came back to the room because they went out and I didn't. Mm. I had to stay indoors. And he was like, man, like he had no idea it was that bad. Like it really looked bad when they slowed it down. So, but yeah, I don't.
I remember writing about it that was possibly the most time you spent on the floor all season.
Hey, I resemble that remark. All right, that's two nil your way. We'll come back to that. Okay. Let's just talk ladder as we go. Adelaide, three games.
Top six.
Mine hasn't changed. Tasmania in.
Neither has mine. Tasmania in. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That was really important.
But hang on a second. Sorry. Adelaide, Southeast, Sydney was our 1-2-3. Has that changed for you?
Not at this stage, no. No. I mean, dropping one in Perth didn't break my heart. You know, you've got to, it's hard to maintain all the way through. Mm-hmm. You're going to have little laps here and there. Mm-hmm. And Perth had a great weekend. Getting them and getting Illawarra on the road, that was a very good weekend for Perth. Perth best is pretty good. I don't believe it's good enough to win the championship because they're not consistent enough.
Yeah.
But their best is good enough to beat anybody on the night.
So do you think right now, because I do, Tasmania go to Melbourne and I don't know who wins that? That's my honest truth, right? I don't know who wins that.
No,
then I think whoever loses out of, and let's assume whether it's Sydney or Southeast getting third at this stage, whoever loses out of that, Sydney or Southeast playing Perth, right? Whoever loses out of that beats Melbourne or Tasmania. I think it will be the top four will be Adelaide, Southeast, Sydney and Perth. I don't know what order. That's my honest. No. I don't see any changes.
I don't see Tasmania beating anybody. I see them making the playoffs. So I don't see them beating anyone because
I don't think they can beat Melbourne. But
Ben Ayres out now.
One off game, and it's defend the island. I know they're not in Tasmania. But
it'll be in
Melbourne. Roth is just phenomenal the way he goes and gets that team up. But I don't know. I agree with you.
I've been on the Jack Jumpers since the day.
I know. I know. Yeah.
But I don't think. I just don't think you can keep. You know. Just patching up and you just can't. How many guys, but look at this. If they had Sean McDonald and Anthony Drimmick all season, if they had Will Magne and David Johnson all season, if Bryce Hamilton doesn't go down, through that Jock Dingle, the way he's playing at the moment, Ben Ayre, they would be in the championship.
I feel for Drimmick. He looks like he's really struggling out there at the moment. Yeah. You can just see, I don't know whether he's carrying an injury and can't, or hasn't got enough miles on his legs. It's one of the two.
I think it's both.
Yeah.
I think it's both. The back has hurt him, but he's also hasn't been able to get enough games under him. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the next. You know what? We'll go with the best moment first. You go first.
My best moment, and there were a lot of them.
Yes.
But my best moment goes back to the Perth Southeast Melbourne game. Well, little Owen Foxwell, And I say little because I want to make the point, is raced down the floor and blocked a shot on the break by David Okwara from Perth, who's an athlete.
That was awesome.
Considerably taller than young Owen. Then the ball gets flicked down the floor and Owen sprints down. They pass it to him on the wing. He hits a three.
That is
inspirational stuff. He's blocked a guy bigger than him and then he's hit a three. I really like that play. There were others. Give me your fave.
For me, I got to go to Malawatch in the Sydney Kings player in the Cairns game. You can sit here and go, they were never going to lose, but they were down and Statman started to play well. Statman got a steal, goes down. He is in the open. Like he's just got, and he's an athlete, goes up to dunk it and Malawatch comes out of friggin' nowhere and blocks that. And that to me was a bit of a change in momentum. I'm not saying it made them win it because they may have won it anyway, but it certainly just took the wind out of Cairns. That was a brilliant moment in my thought.
Where do you rate Malawatch in the most improved?
Oh, look, I can't go against Flynn Delaney. Flynn Cameron. I think he's been phenomenal.
Okay. Yes,
But I love Malawatch, but he's just not at Flynn. That's the only thing.
Flynn has been extraordinary, but that's what happens. Good decision to leave Melbourne, doubled the court time, and he's shown that he's a quality marquee player.
I'm sure Melbourne would be very upset. All right, I'm going to go player of the round. Firstly, before we do this, I want to give a shout out to Doolittle. I thought he was phenomenal in Illawarra. He was a man amongst boys. I'm then going to say Jack McVeigh getting a 40 piece for what he did up
17
there.
17 out of 17 free throws, one off the record.
Yeah, unbelievable. I thought Karim Lopez was great, but I've got to go again with KD again. The guy had 22-9, 33-7-6 in a game that they were down by 24. I don't care.
Carried them.
And his patience, his charisma, the way he talks about his teammates, the way they gather around him, plus, plus, plus. Very big fan. I still believe Bryce gets the MVP, but geez, I tell you what, I'm struggling. KD's catching him, and if not, he's right there.
Yeah, I have no issue with either one of those winning the MVP. If whichever one wins over the other, it's not going to be like, oh, that's a shock.
You can't argue it, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm with you on Kendrick Davis, but I'm going to actually go with Karim Lopez because the New Zealand win over Melbourne United was big for them. He's gone for 32 points on 11 of 13 shooting on a day when the building's filled with NBA scouts. Good time to really show. He's only a young man. You know, he's only a kid. So I thought that was a great performance worthy of acknowledgement.
Good call. So, all right.
Tips for this week?
Yep, let's go. New Zealand starting out on Thursday night. Oh, sorry. No, we've got to go. Thursday night because the Ignite Cup's no longer the finals there. New Zealand at home against Phoenix. Oh, I think I'd go Phoenix there. Phoenix. They've got too much riding for second spot. Adelaide to beat Illawarra after a week from hell. Tasmania, and Brisbane. Jeez, I tell you what, battle. No, I'm going Tassie at home.
In Tasmania, I'm going for them, and that will be the one that wraps it up in terms of the top
agreed.
Six.
And I think Banning goes for 30. Perth to beat Cairns in Perth.
Yep.
Jack McVeigh to get 30 plus. New Zealand Illawarra.
That's a tough one.
Oh, that is a real tough one. I can't go against New Zealand. Not Illawarra are too up and down for me. They don't play 40 minutes. So New Zealand.
All right, I'm going to go Illawarra just because I think New Zealand have done a great job of covering for Baker and Meninga, but how long can you keep doing that?
Melbourne, I'm going for a bit of an upset, and there's only one reason I'm doing this. I just think Melbourne, there's a game that they're going to come good, and I think this could be it.
Don't you reckon if they just went back to the original formula they had, which was starting Tyson Walker, Milton Doyle, Tanner Cribbs, Finn Delaney and Jesse Edwards, bringing Chris Goulding and Shay Illy and Chris Levitch and Kyle Bowen, bringing them off the mid. That was working for him.
I saw enough, even, Daniels in that as well.
I saw enough of
Shay Illy to go another week under his belt, Melbourne maybe. That's all I'm getting at. Right. And I'll be interested to see Southeast at home versus the Kings. Man, that is just
that's a game
toss,
of the round,
toss a coin. I am swaying to Sydney purely because it's Southeast's second game of the round.
I thought you were swaying to Sydney because if you cut your left arm, it'll bleed purple. And if you cut your right, it'll bleed gold. That's why I thought you were leading. But
it's
I'm going
not,
to go with South.
It's not
Island.
If, it does. So
Yes,
don't
you
say
are.
if it does.
Your Captain Violet Crumble runs through your veins. All right. I'm going to go
and
with
then,
South East Melbourne.
and
Brisbane,
then for the
Cairns is the
battle
who
of the
cares.
cell dwells, Brisbane, Cairns, Cairns to win it. Okay,
The
my man.
mango mash.
Sorry?
The mango mash.
Yeah, the mango
Whatever.
mash.
Whatever
all
you
right,
want to call it.
last bit. Give me a nasty.
My nasty is I'm just so tired that any time there's any kind of altercation on the floor in a basketball game that newspapers want to say basket brawl as their headline, as though that's never been done before. It's like it's tiresome. In actual fact, it was hardly a brawl. It was hardly a melee. It was hardly anything. So you know, calling it a basket brawl, geez, have a look at the Boomers versus Philippines if you want to see what
oh,
a
man.
Brawl looks like.
I saw that this week. Somebody actually came out with that. I saw the video and I still cringe when I see that. What I will say is, everyone, this is www.boti.com, botinagy.com. The writer in him just can't stand it.
I can't stand that shit. All right, give me your rattler.
My rattler goes to Scott Roth. Good on him. The way he went at the end of that game where he was like, yes, yes, and throwing his arm and that left arm fist pump and everything, mate, it got me going. And that just, you know, here's a guy that you've lost everything. Like you can't, you've lost your Olympic player. You've lost your starting point guard at the beginning of the year. You've lost your import. You've lost absolutely everything that you can possibly now that, you know, Ben Ayre was having a good year. You've just gone, it's just next man up. And he gets them over the line for the win, man. Unbelievable. So happy. That was huge.
I love seeing that too. And I love seeing that sort of passion. I saw it. The only other coach we've seen it from this year was Brian Goorjian.
Yep. Yep.
And I loved it then. I loved it here. It's great. Yeah. Got to agree with you. And now I've got to say goodbye because I'm going to go and have dinner. It's my wife.
By the way, everyone,
cutlets,
it's 4 p.m. And yes, that's when Body has dinner. Everyone,
so I got bingo tonight. I got bingo. And I've got to be in bed by 8. I've got to be
bingo,
in bed by 8. Then I'll be up
I can
at 3
just imagine you winning a fruit tray. Well, you know what? I reckon we should get a Burger Boss tray and send up the strawberry milkshakes. Have a good weekend all to the WNBL. Good luck for the last round. NBL, keep it humming. See you next time. I can just imagine you showing up at bingo and someone yelling out the number and you going bingo and they say, that's the first number we've started with. How have you got it at the moment?
I get confused on Legs 11. What does that mean?